of what other people had said. It was just my own personal experiences and points of view.
Well, speaking of your points of view, in terms of mascots working these days, like, do you have a particular favorite mascot, or like either as, you know, just a mascot in the sort of abstract, or in like the practice of mascotry, do you have a particular favorite or folks you follow?
Well, you know, it's kind of hard because when I see the mascots, even the ones who have gone through several different performers, I still in my head I see the person who performed the character when I was doing it, just because that's my, you know, that's, I know who the person is in the suit in my head, and that's kind of, I kind of maintain that connection there. But I mean, to me, the Philly Fanatic is still the best, simply because it has only been two performers for the entire run, 30-plus year run of the mascot, and that kind of consistency of performance certainly shows. And so I always enjoy watching the Fanatic. Even though I hate the Phillies, I will happily watch the Philly Fanatic perform. He's really good. You know, I don't see a lot of mascots because they don't get on TV too often. If I go to a ballpark, I'll always watch the mascot, and instantly I find myself critiquing their performance, either good or bad, at, you know, minor league level, major league level, it doesn't matter. I'm always paying attention, and you know, I'm always amazed by the NBA mascots because their athleticism is unparalleled. I mean, the flips and the dunks and the somersaults, and a lot of them are gymnasts who went to Arizona State University, and that's kind of like a pipeline to the NBA, and you know, I am in awe of their athletic ability. I don't consider it the same type of mascotting that we do in baseball, just because, you know, it's just a different skill set. But I'm no less in awe.
Well, speaking of the NBA mascots, I know that one of the more recent mascots, the Brooklyn Knight, which obviously coincided with the moving of the Nets to Brooklyn, has kind of drawn some heat in terms of its sort of creation being, you know, the product of Marvel's imagination rather than the team's, and I think a lot of people not necessarily digging that. What's your take on the Brooklyn Knight?
Well, again, I think it's a different family of mascots. It's designed to be that kind of superhero thing because it is a character that has to do the dunks and the flips, and it's the spectacular. So, you know, that to me is kind of it. NBA mascots in general are more showpieces than character, personality, fan interaction pieces, even though some of them certainly do that aspect of the job. So I think it's fine with me. It's a new team, so you're not building off a heritage. You know, I'm a little bit more interested in something like in Chicago, where the Cubs finally decided to have a mascot now, after never having had one for the longest time. You know, there I think you had more of a duty to kind of come up with a mascot that fit into the culture that already existed. And based on the early reaction, I don't think that they quite nailed it. I think they went a little too young with the mascot, Clark the Cub, and skewed it a little bit too young. Whereas when Boston did their mascot in the 90s, they went with Wally the Green Monster, which I thought was a perfect fit for the concept of the culture, with the Green Monster already being kind of like symbolized, you know, symbolic of the Red Sox. I think that was a much better job. You know, I would have thought something more with an Ivy kind of theme would have worked better for the Cubs because of what Wrigley Field is, and maybe scaling a little older. But, you know, I think the mascot will still be there in a few years. So they've got time to make some changes and some tweaks. And you know, it's new. Mr. Met didn't catch on right away either. So, you know, I'm willing to give them the benefit of the doubt.
Mm-hmm. Well, it speaks a lot to your respect for the Philly Fanatic as a Mets fan to say that that's, you know, one of your favorite mascots, I think. AJ, thanks very much for taking some time. I really appreciate it and really enjoyed the book. It was certainly an eye-opener in terms of what goes on under the suit and the people that have kind of brought those things to life. You know, I always enjoy mascots, but hadn't really thought about who the person was underneath there. Thanks.
Yeah, people forget that there's an actual Mister inside of Mr. Met, and if I've done my little small part to give people pause the next time they want to, you know, come up from behind and give them a little shove, then I've done my job, my work is done.
Wonderful. Folks can follow you, obviously, right for ESPN, and what's your Twitter handle for folks to keep tabs on what you're doing outside of this book?
It's It's real easy to remember. It's just my name, at AJ Mass, six little letters.
Perfect. That's a great Twitter handle. AJ, thanks again, and great book. Yes, It's Hot in Here is the book.
Thanks a lot. I appreciate it.
Independent media still matters, and UMFM proves it. No corporate ownership, no commercial pressure, just space for different voices, different ideas, and programming that reflects the community. That independence only works when people step in and take part. If you believe media should be shaped by people, not systems, this is where you belong. Be part of independent radio. Visit umfm.com and join our radio family today.
Big Sun is back. That's right, kids. Winnipeg's wildest downtown carnival returns to Blue Note Park July 31st and August 1st for 2 days of incredible music, strange attractions, and all your favorite people in one place. This year's fantastic lineup includes Victoria's Freak Heat Waves, plus a whole slew of Winnipeg's finest, including Hut Hut, Stucco, Warming, Bland, Luana Moth, Compost, Ghost Twin, Goodies, Sam Singer, and Dre. And that's just the beginning. You can also expect wacky inflatable arm tube people, a dunk tank, food trucks, bubble machines, lasers, games, surprises, and plenty more weirdness all weekend long. Grab your two-day pass now for just $45 at 3common.com while they last. Don't miss the 4th Annual Big Sun Festival, July 31st and August 1st at Blue Note Park. Proudly presented by UMFM 101.5.
Our regular hosts couldn't be here, so here's a rebroadcast of one of their classic episodes for your listening enjoyment. Please note, you may hear some discussion announcements that are slightly out of date. Thanks so much for listening to UMFM 101.5.
Welcome back, everybody. My name is Kieran Lake. This is Still Talking. I'm the guy who does not shut up about sports, not once, not ever, and like I say every week here during the Bush League series, not when I'm in the middle of nowhere. Who are you? By the who? And, you know, that's a very relevant question, because I'm not alone this time. And who are you, my guest sitting across from me?
Hello. My name is Liam.
This is the first member of management here, tree planting, to come on to Still Talking. This is Mr. Liam McConnell Radford, not my crew boss, my brother, who has also been on the show, has yet to grace us with his voice because he is mean. And so Liam, in his everlasting kindness, has said, Kieran, I will grace you with my elite ball knowledge because we have a lot to talk about in the NBA. Liam, like me, a fan of the Toronto Raptors, probably has many thoughts on the biggest trade of this week as we've gone into an absolutely insane NBA offseason, even more insane than usual NBA offseasons. And it was reported the other day that the Toronto Raptors have traded for Kawhi Leonard, the forward from previously the LA Clippers and previously the Toronto Raptors. In a trade, they give up Grady Dick, Brandon Ingram, two first-round picks, 2021 and 2023, two second-round picks, 2031 and 2033, and then a first-round pick swap in 2027. Now, I have a lot of thoughts on this, ones that are basketball-related and ones that are a little bit different. Liam, I want your initial thoughts on this when we came home from planting and had internet again and said, oh my God, what the hell just happened?
So, yeah, I mean, it's a crazy haul that the Clippers got.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's what you gotta give away, when I think the Spurs were in a position years and years ago.
They did not have much leverage.
Yeah, when we first got them. So I'm not upset with, what we had to give away there. I feel like originally when we got Kawhi, they needed to get rid of him, and now the Clippers, they had a lot more.
Well, and he was forcing his way out.
Yeah, so we got him for a great deal back then, but right now it's a pretty fantastic thing to see him come back. I loved having Kawhi in
Toronto. I will say there's quite a dichotomy between my reactions to both times that we've made this trade now. Obviously, as a huge DeMar DeRozan fan, my favorite player of all time, I was mourning the trade, right? And you got to remember, like, that was coming off of, like, it was a disappointing year getting swept by LeBron, but, like, first seed in the league, Dwayne Casey coach of the year, DeMar.
Dude, that shot lives in my mind rent-free, that one-handed.
Yeah,
over
OG, yeah, oh, right? And it's just like, I can't believe we thought, I mean, OG Anunoby is such a great defender, but I can't believe we thought rookie OG Anunoby was going to do something against LeBron James. But, like, yeah. I remember the feeling of being completely heartbroken, and now this time, I guess it is, like, again, conflicted feelings, because, I mean, obviously Kawhi was a great get back then. This time, though, I'm like, from a strictly basketball perspective, I'm not going to sit here and act like we gave up too much the first time. Obviously, a championship was the result, but I think this time, yeah, like, it is a good haul for the Clippers, but I think it was an even better giveaway from the Raptors. From a strictly basketball sense, I love this trade.
Yeah.
Like, are you kidding?
I mean, we didn't even... Dick wasn't even playing, and...
No.
But I... Honestly, I see him flourishing on the Clippers because he'll actually get play time.
He'll get more play time. And, like, the other thing was, like, I love Grady Dick. Great personality. Like, immediately a fan favorite with the, like, bedazzled suit and all that stuff. And...
Oh, for sure.
And he was just an awesome, fun guy, and let's be honest, a funny name to cheer for.
Yeah, but Darko would just sit him down. He would mess up a single play, and he's benched for the game.
Exactly.
The other thing was
he was an exciting young player, and there's two thoughts. Like, yeah, he wouldn't get a ton of playing time, but at the same time also, like, I think it got to a point where he was kind of... His three-point efficiency went down, and so it became harder to justify keeping him on as, like, how many chances can we keep giving him? Especially when it's like, do you want to hold on to Grady Dick for the future, or do you want to get Kawhi Leonard for now? And I know that kind of seems like a ridiculous comparison to make, but, like, yeah. I love
and
Grady
he
Dick.
CMB, got Jacoby.
Oh, my God, that's the other thing.
Got
was
a
like
bunch of guys two, who are really showing out.
2 days before this trade, I'm seeing the reports about the Clippers didn't want Brandon Ingram. They were wanting Colin Murray-Boyles. And I was
no
like...
Doubt.
And I was worried that we'd be trading Colin Murray-Boyles. I did not ever want to trade Colin Murray-Boyles. CMB was in this trade, I would be a lot more critical of it. Yeah. But the fact that he's not, and they took Brandon Ingram, the guy that they supposedly didn't want, has me kind of over the moon. And while I do appreciate Brandon Ingram for his one season in Toronto, I think the playoffs kind of proved that it wasn't quite working.
He's like, it felt like watching Nets KD. Like, it was just brutal. Like, it was just like, all right, what are we doing? How are we going to
get
a point? Oh, another ISO from Ingram at the top.
Yeah.
Another super contested mid-range.
The difference, though, is that he's not nearly as efficient as Kevin Durant.
Yeah.
Like that was a wonky, like, roster construction between Harden, KD, and Kyrie. But, like, at least those were three MVP players. Like, Brandon Ingram, again, throughout the regular season, awesome. He propelled us to higher wins. But then in the playoffs, yeah, he was, like, he just was not there. Any efficiency he did have, gone.
Took
not
so many touches
enough,
away from
took
other
Took so
players.
Many touches, and he always, even in the winnings, like, we had the 13-game winning streak, even in the highs of the season, it was kind of abrasive, the fit. And then there's just the fact, and then he gets hurt in the playoffs, and the team is better. Like, our really big wins against the Cavs really came when Brandon Ingram was out, and the rest, like, you take that guy out, and the flow was there. Colin Murray-Boyles and Scotty Barnes and Jamal Shedd, shout out Jamal Shedd,
yeah.
All worked together way better, and then that, I think, also, like you mentioned, taking touches away, R.J. Barrett got his chance, and look how good he was in the playoffs.
Oh, he is a dog.
Like,
he fights
so hard,
man.
I love R.J. Barrett.
Never complains, he just gets back.
And,
yeah.
And I love having a hometown kid on the team, that's super nice. And so, like, I think that playoff series was kind of what pushed Toronto to make a bigger move. Which is like, okay, Scotty Barnes, insane in the playoffs. Really, really, really great. And RJ Barrett was really great.
Assists. It was wild.
And when he gets
the ball, he makes the right choice.
And we took the Cavs, who went to the conference finals, to 7 games. And it also just showed that, like, and I don't mean this as a bad thing, but it showed that while Scotty Barnes, before the trade, was the best player on the team and is maybe their best is, or is their best playmaker, and is their best defender, and is arguably their best rebounder, and is so good at all these other things, and can score, shouldn't be a number one scorer. And if Brandon Ingram wasn't the right fit, nor is he knocking down his shots, we need to find someone who is. And the fact, it's just kind of poetic, I guess, that Kawhi Leonard was available.
Yeah.
And so that's why I love this.
And how heartwarming that he wants to come back.
That's the other thing that's crazy, right? He's like, the 2019, he's like, there's no team I want to go to less than Toronto.
Yeah.
And then again, when he has 1 year left on his contract, he's like, the only team I will sign an extension with is Toronto.
Yeah.
As a bit of a salty Raps fan, I have to assume he regretted it.
Oh, for sure. Come on,
the fact,
man.
Like that's just kind of like...
is it real Danny Green is coming back?
No. No way. Danny Green retired years ago.
I saw that.
I would love to have Danny Green back.
That, like, he's coming out of retirement to run it back.
That'd be so cool. No, season. I mean, if he could be an assistant coach, that would be awesome.
Yeah, yeah.
But, Danny Green... I loved having Danny Green on that team.
That team was
him, and you want to know who else?
That
you know
came
else? You know who else I loved on that team? Matt Johnson.
Matt Johnson.
Was it Matt Johnson or maybe I'm forgetting his name? I don't know.
Was
I
he
called,
a point? Was he like? He was a, like a guard.
He was like a three.
Europe
he was strict. No, he was just a regular guy, regular white guy.
Garrison Mathis.
No, not Garrison Mathis. Aiden is, I guess, on the show now. No. He was just strictly 3-point shooters.
Anyways, I think I know who you're talking about.
Maybe he was
buzz cut, like
yes.
Kind of a longer face.
Maybe he was on the year after that. Anyways, I love that guy.
Yeah.
He would knock down so many shots. He'd have a couple games where he'd get like 18 points on like 6 for 8 3-point shooting,
yeah.
And it'd just be lovely. I used to call him White Magic. Anyways, White Magic tangent aside. Yeah, if Danny Green can come back, that would be amazing.
Oh,
just bring the squad back,
so
man.
Yeah, bring Marc Gasol back.
Yeah, DeMar DeRozan apparently
Serge
is on his
Ibaka,
way. Oh, like... I love Serge. Serge can be the team cook.
Yeah.
DeMar DeRozan is on his way out of Sacramento. That's the other thing, is just like, as a very sentimental DeMar DeRozan fan, I'm like, can mm-hmm. we please mend the fences
oh,
and bring
my.
Him back?
Yeah.
That would be so nice.
Dude, he had some games this year for the Kings where he was... just keeping them alive.
Yeah.
It is amazing to see.
He's
dude.
The
it's
only positive thing in Sacramento.
Just pump fake.
Pump fake up. Yeah. It's
shot,
just like,
foul.
He's like
makes
nothing,
it.
Nothing else, so I'm just going to
yeah.
do it. It was like watching street ball.
40-point games or something like
yeah,
that?
Yeah, he had a lot of great games.
He did, yeah. He was awesome to watch.
I love DeMar. It would be sick to have him back. I think would definitely disrupt team fit. DeMar DeRozan on this
certainly,
team,
yeah.
But like we can make it work.
Yeah, Kawhi's got to have the ball a lot, bringing it up the floor. He's going to draw so much
yeah.
attention.
The thing about having DeMar DeRozan on this squad, hypothetically, is just like, yeah, he would. You'd have to reduce him, which would break my heart to do.
Yeah, have him
especially
off
especially
the bench or like a secondary score,
or just be like
Lou
like
Will
yeah exactly
thing,
yeah,
like,
and especially if it was like he have to reduce him for Kawhi. I'm sure he wouldn't come back for that,
yeah,
considering
yeah.
he was the one who got backstabbed for Kawhi.
I know. And
but if we could
chip.
Make it work. And then, I mean, also, we should talk about Kyle Lowry retiring as a Raptor today.
Oh, my God.
Did you not see this?
I did see this.
Okay,
I did
yeah.
see this. And it was another one that I was like, is this I hope this is real.
I know. Yeah. Like, and it's like out here with inconsistent internet connection, it's hard enough to keep up with all the sports stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's a million things happening. And I'm like, wait, Kyle Lowry just retired. And it's just like, I don't even know what to think. Like, my mind is on so many different things beyond just sports. And for to have, like, my second favorite player of all time is now gone. I was kind of hoping he would come back. But,
yeah.
like, he'd been talking retirement for a while. He signed the one-day contract. So I'm very happy here. But, yeah, back to basketball. Like, you mentioned Brandon Ingram kind of took touches away. We got to see R.J. Barrett flourish. And so I just think the fit was, yeah, it was wonky with Brandon Ingram, even at its best times. And what we have now with Kawhi is a perfect fit. And I'm really happy because, like, when we drafted Scottie Barnes, it was, oh, he's Kawhi 2.0. And then when we drafted Colin Murray-Poyles, it was, he's Kawhi 2.0. And now we just have, like, the full Pokemon evolution line of all three of those guys.
Wonderful way to put it.
It really is, like, Charmander, Charmeleon, Charizard. What's on the Clippers side of things, you mentioned that you really like the haul for them, and I like it too.
Mm.
What do you see with LA now? With this team is Darius Garland, Grady Dick, Mathurin, Brandon Ingram.
I like Mathurin a lot.
I like Mathurin a lot too.
Yeah, he's a fantastic basketball player. He plays very, very hard. He reminds me of RJ in a way. He's like kind of like their own version of that.
He's a kind of like isolated volume scorer type of thing.
Yeah.
And I think like LA has an interesting mix of scorers now with like, yeah, Benedict Mathurin, who on his best days can get you like well above 20. And then
Yeah, that defense might suffer hard.
Defense might suffer a lot. And then you also have, like, Darius Garland, who's another guy who's, like, can do a few other things, but is mostly a scorer kind of thing. Although he had to be a bit more of, like, a off-ball guy in Cleveland. So I'm sure that'll probably just end up happening again.
But I can't think of the front court. Who is the...
Well, I mean, I guess Brandon Ingram now.
Who's the big guys?
They don't have Zubac still, do they? Did they trade Zubac? I don't know. I'm going to look up the Clippers depth chart.
I wouldn't have gotten rid
of him. Zubac is on the Pacers, yeah. Yeah, their front court were the Clippers. So Brandon Ingram, they also have Derek Jones Jr. and Brooke Lopez. And then you're talking about defense. Second string point guard is Chris Dunn. Now, is he still... for 2 years there when he was an elite perimeter defender.
I've always been a Chris Dunn fan. I like Chris Dunn.
Yeah. I mean, Timberwolves legend, Chris Dunn. Bulls legend, Chris Dunn as well. Let's see if he's a Clippers legend. I think with L.A., I don't know, they're kind of, I think they've obviously kind of read the writing on the wall, and they're just like, okay, we gave up so many picks and committed to these guys for so long that they're just kind of trying to recoup whatever they can. Right? That was, I think, what compelled them to trade Harden away and get some picks in return. And now the same thing with Kawhi. And
that was a good trade for them. I like that pickup of Garland.
And here's the thing. In the current state of NBA trades, like, so many picks are thrown into everything where it's just like Desmond Bain went for, what, 4 or 5 first-round picks. And there are still a lot of people who are like, that's a lot to give up. And sure, like, picks are valuable, but I think if you're making an all-in move, like the Raptors clearly are, they're really not. This is the thing that the LA Rams and the NFL have been doing for a few years now, the F them picks mantra. And it won them a Super Bowl, and now they got Myles Garrett, and they look like they could win it all once again. And that, I think, definitely applies even more so in the NBA. We've seen tons and tons of teams just, even if it's just like a final puzzle piece, not necessarily like a franchise cornerstone number one option guy, there's like, okay, if this is going to take us over the top, we'll give up whatever picks we need because they really don't matter compared to a ring.
It's wild, the disparity, though, in some trades. Like, you're making me think about the Luka trade.
They didn't even get that many picks.
How do they get away with something like that in, like, this economy of trading?
Right, and, like, that's the thing. Even in the Luka trade, it's like he only had one first-round pick.
Like, that should have been, like, 5.
At least, yeah, with Anthony Davis still. Yeah. Right? And, like, it's very interesting. But, like, so if you're a team like Toronto trying to go all in, the picks, in my opinion, don't matter as much. I won't say they don't matter at all, but, and this is why I like it for the Clippers as well, I do think it's mutually beneficial because they need the picks. And so you can help each other out. You know, Kawhi Leonard goes back to Toronto.
Yeah, we had a bunch of years of good draft picks.
We've already built up a really good core. That's a great point. And then whatever picks we have left, we have a track record now of we can ace these. Like, sure, Colin Murray Boyles was a higher pick. Same with Scotty, the 9th and 4th. So less of a chance, as is with any pick, that you're going to get it with one of the lower ones. But I just don't mind it at all, especially if, like,
we
now
just keep our heads down and keep picking wings.
6'9" forwards, 7-foot wingspans. This is the Raptors' philosophy to everything. 100%. Forwards as far as the eye can see, as far as the arms can stretch. Other trades in the NBA. So we've gone over the Kawhi Leonard to Toronto thing, and I've talked on this show a lot. I had to talk about the aspiration scandal with the circumventing the cap, and we've already been talking about this one for 16 minutes, so I won't delve into that quite right now. I might talk about it next week if it's a slower week and delve into my personal feelings from a non-basketball sense. Keeping with basketball, though, one of the other big trades that happened, Jaylen Brown is leaving Boston has been traded to the Philadelphia 76ers. The total package is the Sixers received just Jaylen Brown. In return, they give up Paul George, 2028 first-round pick, 2031 first-round pick, 2028 second, 2030 second. Those ones are best of like a mix of different teams. I'm not going to bore you with the details on that one. The prevailing notion, I think there's a lot of bewilderment from Boston's side, not just on basketball, just like the whole, there's so much stuff going on with Jaylen Brown and the rest of the organization. We can tap into that. But just basketball, this is a terrible trade for Boston.
Has Tatum said anything?
No.
You know?
No, of course not, because Tatum's a pro.
Yeah.
Like, Tatum is a very put-together guy. He's never had an issue with this, but, like, I'm killing to know what he's thinking.
Exactly. You know, you'd think you'd miss him, or yeah. something if you were really, really brothers tight. You
yeah, know, yeah, yeah, yeah,
that
yeah,
franchise
yeah.
for years and years.
Especially since Boston, like, without Tatum for 90% of the year, still was second in the East. I had
Fantastic.
Them going to the conference finals, and then yeah. it, that's the other thing. It's like they lost. The Philly was the one who came back 3-1 on them in the first round.
Oh, and now they've got Brown,
and now they got Jalen Brown
and Embiid.
Yeah, that is, oh, that's a great trio. Philadelphia looks
amazing.
Really good right now. Like, yeah. the East is going to be a lot stronger. Not that Jalen Brown is switching conferences or anything, but, like, I still think Boston's going to be strong. Mm-hmm, just not mm-hmm. as strong as they've been for, like, ever now. The other thing that I was, like, shocked by is, like, and I know divisions don't really matter in the NBA, but trading that within divisions to a rival like that is kind of weird to me. I can't imagine, again, after the 3-1 comeback, it's such a weird thing to see the Boston Celtics give up a all-NBA level player in the middle of his prime to a rival like the Sixers, who were really floundering. Like, even with the talent they had, from what they could get from Paul George at least, like, I don't know. It was really, really odd.
Yeah, be so stingy to not go all in for Giannis instead.
Oh, and that's the other thing. It's like, yeah, Boston was like,
I read something that they just held strong and refused him a 3-year deal, and they were like, we're gonna do only
yes,
2 years.
I saw that. Yes, yeah, I saw so, that too. And then like, that's yeah, like what? It's so dumbfounding because Boston has sort of been like the Spurs of the East, where they're like, we make the most solid, like, well, like, most sound logic decisions every single time. Mm-hmm. And that's part of the reason why I hate the Celtics so much, is because they are consistently just like, dang it, that's a smart thing
yeah,
to do.
Yeah.
Like, oh, dang it, they just, like, found some other diamond in the rough in the draft, like Peyton Pritchard.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, Derek White. Which
Holiday.
Yeah.
Back
when they won
him.
The championship.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, and yeah. so, like, now trading Jaylen Brown, and then, yeah, refusing Giannis a 3-year extension. Which makes absolutely no sense. Like, yeah, I saw Bill Simmons, big Celtics fan, and his immediate reaction to this trade was, I don't think Brad Stevens is calling the shots anymore. Yeah. And that's the other thing. He's like, yeah, Brad Stevens has kind of been the embodiment of this era of the Celtics, where he's just like, that is the smartest thing you could have possibly done in that situation, both as a coach and an executive.
He was leading when they took Braun to Game 7, right?
Yeah,
in
no,
the rookie,
he
in.
Yeah, with rookie Tatum. Season. Yeah, that's like
my God,
Brad Stevens.
What a yeah, that was
coach
fantastic.
Of the year and then executive of the year. Like, just so solid. And I don't want to delve into some like conspiratorial thing, but I did see an explanation about, you know, the Celtics getting sold last year to what could or couldn't be, but probably is a private equity firm that's just trying to kind of increase margins and make money because Jaylen Brown has a much larger contract than Paul George. I digress on that, but. Mm-hmm. I mean, if we're talking about outlook into next year, Boston now, with all the picks they gave up, it's kind of, oh man, I feel weird saying this after just doing a little rant about why picks don't really matter as much, mm-hmm. but I think they matter more here because this isn't an all-in move. If anything, this is an all-out move.
Yeah.
Yeah, and
slow
so
it down.
Yeah, this is a slow it down move, and yeah. so the Sixers are the ones kind of making the all in move here. Like, hey, they did get the picks in return, I guess. But anyways, no, Philadelphia, I think, looks like a true contender. I still don't think anyone beats New York, at least if they can stay in the current form. Who
yeah.
knows what happens? Let's see how their team shakes up. But
what a massive collapse from the Spurs.
Yeah.
My goodness.
In the finals there. Yeah, yeah. I know. I was ranting about that. They led for 72% of the series and then lost in 5 games.
Yeah.
Which was just crazy to see. So, like, that's just how good of a team New York was, mm-hmm. being able to come back from literally anything. I don't know. Like now with Toronto, with Kawhi, Philadelphia, with, yeah, Embiid, Maxey, and Jaylen Brown. Yeah, I haven't really sunk that in. That is quite the
that
trio right there.
Mad.
That is like that's an elite player at all three levels.
Yeah.
Right? Embiid has won an MVP. Jaylen Brown, not that I don't think he ever would, could, if the cards fall the right way, could have an MVP type year.
And Maxey's just a stud.
And Maxey's just a stud.
Player.
30 points like, a game.
Unbelievable.
And so they have these at all three levels. Like, I think that Philadelphia, for the first time in a few years, might be a well-rounded team again. Right, and I think like in their years in like the late 2010s, where they were actually a consistent playoff team, that was kind of their thing, was just being super well-rounded with Jimmy Butler and Ben Simmons and Joel Embiid. And
Sixers,
just
Jimmy.
Yeah. Oh, they had me scared. Going back to 2019, like, yeah, it had me scared,
man. That
dude.
That sidestep, and Kemba had the 60-point game, and
he
broke everyone's hearts with that sidestep three. Oh my goodness.
But no, Philadelphia once again looks really good, and in keeping with the, like, this is kind of a 2019 throwback, all of these moves that are happening, because LeBron James, through Clutch Sports, through the CEO and his best friend, shout out Rich Paul, Adele's husband, actually, has informed the LA Lakers that he is not going to play for them in the upcoming season. And much, that was the same thing with 2019, was LeBron leaving, and so now we're wondering, where is LeBron going to go? I feel like it has to be Cleveland.
I've seen pictures of him in a Golden State jersey.
I've seen those for years.
Yeah, that would be...
Golden State.
That would be something. I don't think it's worth their time, but...
No, I don't think so either. Unless Golden State is really in a make the most of Curry thing, which they seem to have been for like the last 3 years. I mean, they won it in 2023 or 2024.
One of my favorite championships.
You think so?
In a long time. I loved that he...
Got the finals MVP.
Yeah. Tied Bron, too, right, for championships?
Yeah, his fourth.
Yeah.
Yeah, and so I think Golden State really wants to. And I think it's because Steph Curry is still really the same player he is. Maybe he's not MVP, like unanimous MVP level, obviously.
My favorite games are when he comes back from an injury and he steps onto the court.
He comes back from some calf injury.
It's like a 40-footer and just has three people guarding him. He never changes.
And it's always in like the first quarter. Like there's always like you have like an ankle or a calf injury, which we've seen in recent years has been like a... That'll turn into something worse. Tyrese Halliburton, Jason Tatum, for one.
Tyrese.
And then, like, he'll come in, you're wondering, like, oh, Will Curry, is this finally the injury that stops Steph Curry? And then, yeah, he comes in and just hits a shot, and it's just like, oh, no, he's good.
It's classic.
And so Golden State...
Rainbow to the roof.
Exactly. And I think Golden State kind of has a similar sentiment where they're like, it's going to break at some point. And there's always the especially with the Olympics in 2024, it seemed like Steph and LeBron, that was the first time they were playing together other than, like, maybe a few All-Star games. That was, they really built up a rapport there, and there's been a lot of hype around pairing those two up. So while I do feel like Cleveland, because LeBron might want to do a third coming home thing, Golden State, yeah. I don't know. I mean, yeah, I could see that. And if Golden State were to get LeBron, let's just run with this hypothetical. Where do you think they rank in the West? Considering that, okay, you have, obviously, San Antonio. You still have OKC being absolutely elite. Minnesota is weird, but still really good. And I think Minnesota would be on par with a LeBron Warriors team. Golden State right now, their roster, so Steph Curry, obviously, as we've just been gawking about. Brandon Podziemski still, Guy Santos. Kristaps Porzingis. Draymond Green is on the depth chart, but he just declined his player option and is now a free agent. And, like, I feel like if LeBron was to go on the Warriors, Draymond Green would not fit at all. I think there's a running theme in this episode is I care about roster fit above almost everything else.
Yeah,
I don't know.
That would be interesting to see because Draymond's got to have the ball in his hands.
Well, I mean, yeah. Yeah, if he wants to be involved on offense, Draymond Green can't really work off ball. And I don't think his defensive upside is the same as it has been.
I mean, I've seen him hit his threes every once in a while.
With the backpack on, you mean?
Yeah.
But here's the thing, like we've seen, if we're talking about roster fit, like we've seen LeBron and Steph work well together.
Yeah.
And so, like, I came into this recording thinking, like, oh, Cleveland is the one. But no, honestly, now that you've brought it up, I'm thinking to myself, Golden State is probably the team where I'd at least want to see LeBron go to the most.
It would be cool to see.
It would be cool. And those years of battling, but then ever since the back-to-back-to-back-to-back finals where they met each other, it's been wondering, right?
Yeah.
And again, that's why the Olympics thing was so hyped, was like, oh, we can finally see what it would be like.
Yeah.
And yeah, I mean, LeBron leaving is a big thing. By the way, I just remembered another thing. We'll spend a minute or two on this. John Morant, we're talking about teams in the West. John Morant...